Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And we are in Luke chapter 18, and we are in verse 31. We're continuing on in this passage of scriptures that started way back where Jesus was talking about Lazarus and the rich man and who would enter the kingdom of heaven and who would not. And all these are additive scriptures that are still focusing on this, who makes the final cut, who's able to make it into God's kingdom eternally. And we were reading and talking about the Ten Commandments in one of those scriptures. And we had read previously in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, about the first two commandments, about God. You will have no other gods before God, that he is, I am Yahweh your God, is the first commandment. And you shall have no other gods beside God. And you shall not make yourself a carved image. And that was verses 1 through 6. And verse 7 says in Exodus chapter 20, you shall not take the name of the Lord or Yahweh, your God, in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And the number 5th, the final one on how we love God with our whole heart, soul, might, strength, is honor your father, who is God, and your mother, the body of Christ, Jesus Christ's body, that your days may be long in the land of that Yahweh your God is giving you. And then the final stone. The other stone is you shall not murder. This is how we treat our brother. You shall not rob him of his joy. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed. and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord.
Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34.
And he took to him the 12 and said to them, Lo, we go up to Jerusalem, and all the things written through the prophets shall be accomplished to the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered up to the nations, and shall be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and they shall scourge and kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, and they perceived not the things said.
Seven things Jesus prophesied here that he'd be delivered up, number one, to the nations, shall be mocked, number two, shamefully treated, number three, spit upon, number four, and they shall scourge him, number five, and kill him, number six, and the third day he shall rise again, number seven. They didn't know. He was foretelling what's going to happen shortly. He's going to be delivered up and take on us all of the sins that we've committed, take them, and deliver us.
It's interesting that he says all those things to them, and they didn't understand, and the reason they didn't understand because it was hidden from them. Like it was not ready to be revealed what that was yet.
Okay, 35 through 43. It's not time yet.
And it came to pass, as he drew near unto Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this be. And they reported to him that Jesus the Nazarene passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, David's son, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him that he should keep still, but he cried out all the more, David's son, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he approached, he asked him, What wilt thou I should do to thee? And he said, Lord, that I look up. And Jesus said to him, Look up, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he looked up, and following him glorified God, and all the people seeing it gave praise to God.
This has not been done before, especially raising the dead and the blind seeing. And look at what happened. What did he do? Followed him. It's just a natural thing that happens. This is what this whole thing starts with, follow me, come after me. And so they followed him. That started way back in Matthew chapter 4:19. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Looking up, thy faith had made thee whole. And immediately he looked up and followed him.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way of saying that, though, too. You know, he says, what should I do for you? And he says, and I think in another translation, that I can receive my sight. But here it's that I look up, that I should look up.
Up.
Set your mind
on the things above.
Things above.
And not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Luke 19, 1 through 10.
And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and lo, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and moreover rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And as Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, He is gone in to lodge with a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lo, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wronged, fully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, Today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is Abraham's son, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost.
So he was not only an IRS agent, he was a chief. I just say that because, you know, to make it our culture, he's a tax collector.
Right.
Much, much loved tax collector that a lot of us would like to do without, right? There's always that yearly pain that happens. Well, salvation has come to his house, and
that's all he had to say.
He was a chief, and moreover, rich. How did he get those riches? That's what people are going to wonder. Was it extortion or whatever? But anyway, he like Andy said, he doubled.
Well, he offers. He said, this is what I'll do. I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. He took 50%, and if there's anything that he took, and why would you make that statement if you hadn't?
Right.
Why would you say, if anything that I've took, if I hadn't took, if I've taken anything, I'll repay it fourfold?
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing. There was a higher penalty if it was taken wrongly. It was not just add 20% to it. There was another penalty.
Oh, I know.
So I wonder, too, it looks like he is definitely meeting the commandments of
the law.
God. The law.
Of the law.
And probably above and beyond. So I haven't done the calculations on that. But
so if it's twice, he doubled it.
Yeah, or if it's, yeah.
If it's only 10, 20%, yeah, well, he's gone more than that.
If it's actually to be restored and then added to it, and you're doubling it, you're going over that. Yes.
Yeah.
So if it's being restored plus a certain portion over that. So looks like he was meeting the Ten Commandments, but this goes back to that one scripture that we're not only to do what the Lord says,
but
more.
More.
Right?
Yes.
That goes back to the one that also, they worked all day long and they come in from the field. Well, I got to serve them dinner too and wait on them. Funny stories. Well, yes.
They are very similar stories.
Yeah.
Since we're looking at them like this, they're connected.
The kingdom of heaven does not fit well with lazy, does it? Lazy does not work at all.
No.
It doesn't work one bit. It is really an enemy. If you got laziness in your bones, whoa, big time repenting. I don't know why that came up because I've never said anything like that before, any statement, but I see no room. When I go back and read this again, I see zero room for laziness in the scriptures. Hmm. That lazy and slothful servant. Didn't he say that in a place?
Mm-hmm. Wicked,
slothful.
Was the Proverbs say a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men that can give a right answer? So the personality and the thinking patterns go with laziness.
Yeah, like
tons of them.
They put their hands to the bowl, but they won't even bring it.
I don't see lazy being really fitting into any of what Jesus is saying. Do you?
Right. No, I don't see that.
It looks like an enemy of salvation. And one way a person could be lazy is not reading their Bible every day, not seeking the Lord in prayer.
Well, there is a verse that says, and I use this word, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It didn't say sleep out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Oh, then there's one that says a work of faith and labor of love.
Labor of love.
Whoa, geez.
Work of faith, labor and love, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's just full of that.
How did this come up with that?
It just led to an army, and a soldier.
Yeah. A soldier's got to give 100. When he hits that battle, it's not 98%, it's 100%.
And then we're to keep ranks.
But can you see 120%? 101%, you're dead. Because 100% is you're giving it your all. What is this? What, you know, when you lift weights, you got to give it 120%. What in the world does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. What? 100% is
everything. 100%.
Everything. I don't get some of the new modern ideas.
Something was interesting here, though, is the interaction between Jesus and Zacchaeus is that he tells him to come down. He says, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And Zacchaeus afterwards, it's like there's no conversation after that between him and Jesus, maybe a little bit later, but it says here, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And then the murmuring came. And that was when all murmured, and when they saw it, saying, he has gone to lodge with a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. When he stood and said unto the Lord what he got done saying, and he was going to rectify whatever issues he had, there's repentance there. There was a clear change of mind.
And the next statement of Jesus says,
salvation, what is it?
Today.
Now.
Today is salvation come to this house. Yeah.
So he was of Abraham, didn't say what tribe.
Right, but he was Abraham.
He was the tax collecting tribe, whatever that means. I made that up.
But he goes off and does all that. Like, he knows exactly what he needs to do. And so he restores all that. And then Jesus sees this and says, today is salvation come to this house. Now, whatever the time frame on that is, I don't really know in between the time that he came down from the tree and all that, but what an interesting interaction. Like, there was like clear change of mind, and he wanted to restore what he had done.
That's it almost
fruit of repentance.
It sounds a bit, you can see a little flavor of the repentant attitude, you know, that was in.
We took some effort just to see.
Right.
Well, it sounds like the prodigal son, too. Some of that.
Climbed a tree, and then he says, come down. And
there's like bare fruit worthy of repentance.
He didn't make him do a lot of confession or whatever. It sounds like that.
Tell me everything you've done wrong.
Right.
How Jesus starts the talk to him. Make haste and come down. Today, I'm going to go to your house. I mean, he was very pointed to him. Hurry up and get down here. I'm going to your house.
Yep.
And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully.
11 through 28. This is Luke 19, 11 through 28.
And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was immediately to appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 of his own bondmen and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade herewith till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent an ambassador after him, saying, we will not that this man reign over us. And it came to pass on his return, having received the kingdom, he also ordered these bondmen unto whom he had given the silver to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. And the first came along, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds more. And he said to him, well done, good bondman, because thou wast faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, thy pound, Lord, has made 5 pounds. And he said to this one also, be thou also over 5 cities. And the other came, saying, Lord, lo, thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, taking up what you don't lay down, and reaping what you did not sow. He said to him, out of thy mouth I will judge thee, wicked bondman. Thou knewest that I am an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. And wherefore gavest thou not my silver into a bank, and I, my coming, have acquired it with interest? And he said to them that stood by, take away from him the pound, and give it to him that has the 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. I say unto you that to every one that has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even what he has shall be taken away. But these mine enemies that would not have me reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. And on saying these things, he went on before, going up to Jerusalem. That's a lot going on right there. The person, I mean, that got really serious. He didn't do anything. And God was not pleased in somebody doing nothing. We were talking about doing something. Well, here's the point. If you do nothing, what you have, what you have is going to be taken away and give to somebody else.
It sounded like he could have been all right if he had just put it into a bank.
If he would have done a minimal thing, anything to get any increase would have been fine. But he did nothing and got no increase. And then he—
why didn't he give it to a bank that I coming should have required it with interest?
He hid it. Because he feared him, because he knew he was an austere man.
So we cannot have exactly what God gives us. We must add
increase
to it. In other words, the task at hand.
And his fear of the Lord was not clean.
Right.
It wasn't. The fear of the Lord
what's
clean.
What's this austere man? Was he austere with the prodigal son? What?
That was how he thought about him. He thought only that.
Well, what he thought he got. Apparently, the prodigal son went to his father and said, Father, and made it up in his mind. And the Lord was, way beyond in the mercy department, way beyond. You know, in the forgiving and bringing back in. And I don't think that prodigal son had one clue of what his dad was really like and how he put the best robe on him, a ring on his finger, had a big feast. I don't think that prodigal son thought any of that was going to happen. But at least he went back to the father to receive whatever he knew was going to be better. At least the servants are treated this way. This guy calls God austere.
He gave him one command when he got the 1 pound. Trade till I come. He did not do it. Done.
Right. He just buried it.
He did not do what he was told.
Yeah.
And he called him austere for he says, because God says it about himself, I am an austere man. I meant what I said, and you didn't do it. That's the point. He did not, there's the little thing, trade till I come.
Yep.
That's it. And he didn't do any of it. And since he didn't do it, he called him a wicked bondman. Why? Because he didn't do what he was told.
So we're supposed to do the bare bones minimum what we're given, but then we're to add to that. And others added, they doubled it or whatever, and least he should have taken it to the bank and gotten interest. It looks like the interest is the minimum that the Lord required. He said you
because
should have
done
that.
Would have traded and had more than when he gave what he gave him.
He would have increased something.
Increase.
Not just stay flat.
Brighter and brighter until the perfect day increase.
To stay where you are is not passing the grade. When we follow the Lord, we have to stoicheo, keep in step. We have to stay within the bounds, but we have to keep in step. And people have, we have different degrees, some 5 talents, gaining 5 more, some 10, gaining 10 more. It depends on what we've been given of the Lord, and we are to increase.
And in the parable of the sower, he said some were 30, 60, 90, and in another one it says some were 130, 60.
Yeah.
He's not interested in the big number, he's interested in the increase. And that matches here. He had 0 increase.
We can't just stay the same. To know growth, Ray used to explain it this way. There's different economies. And one is, you know, when the economy stalls and it's a recession, there's a depression, but there is also a recession. And a depression is where there's no growth. People think of a depression as a hole in the ground. A depression is where there's no growth at all.
Stops.
Yeah. And a recession is where the growth slows. The growth slows.
There's the mark and it recedes.
Yeah. This cannot be a depression. The Great Depression.
You said there was 3?
Well, there's normal growth.
Okay.
And then there's...
I wasn't sure if there was a word for that either.
Yeah. That we want to have the normal, you know, the growth in the economy. And their recession is a slowing of growth, and depression is no growth. We're in Luke 19, 29 through 40.
And it came to pass, as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent 2 of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village over against you, in which as ye enter, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon no man ever yet sat, and loose bring him. And if any asks you, why loose ye, thus shall ye say, the Lord hath need of him. And they that went away, and found even as he said to them. And as they were loosing the colt, its owner said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him unto Jesus, and they threw their garments upon the colt, and set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their own garments in the way. And he was now approaching at the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a great voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, blessed the King that cometh in the Lord's name, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the crowd said unto him, Teacher, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you, if these shall be silent, the stones will cry out.
Well, it looks like we've run out of time. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.